meeting order. We have full attendance, and we have our quorum, invocations, and pledge allegiance. Would you lead us in our invocation?
Absolutely, be happy to.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your mercies that are new every day. We thank you for your love and your kindness and your forgiveness, and that you just walk beside us and behind us and in front of us, and lead us, lead the way, keep us from going backwards, and keep us from getting too far off the path. And we just thank you so much for that, Lord. And Father, I pray for everyone that's represented here, every family that's represented here. Father, I pray for your blessings and your favor and your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us as the board and as the appraisal district as we consider and deliberate and do the business of this county. And we pray for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your direction and guidance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On honor of the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Our next item is opportunity for public to address the board. I don't have any public comment cards. All right. Item 5, appraisal district updates. Mr. Spencer.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon. It's good to see everybody. And I'm glad to be together with you guys today. It's been a good month. We've had a lot of good things going on here, and I just want to, you know, take a few moments first just to really just recognize staff here, and, you know, again, what a tremendous job they've done. You know, we came out of protest season and certified the role and working towards providing files over to the tax office so they can mail tax statements, and everything has been running really smooth. And I'm extremely pleased with the harmony here and how everybody has pulled together. It's a really nice environment to walk into every day, and I'm grateful for the group of folks we have working here. You know, leadership as well. They have worked extremely hard through protest and. You know, in all of our spare time, been planning for next year. It's a continuous cycle around here. You know, we're always having to look forward, and it doesn't seem like there's really time for a break. And they've all been really proactive in looking at ways to continue to improve the processes around here, and plan for, you know, the continued growth here in the county and here at the appraisal district. I'd also like to take a second just to recognize outside counsel, Purdue Brandon. You know, David Tabor works with us a lot, and, you know, he's just, I really appreciate the time and attention that he gives to the matters that we need assistance with, and he's very prompt to respond, and he's super helpful with everything, and so just, you know, thanks to him and the rest of the team over there at Purdue for always you know, providing the counsel we need and the support. We'd also like to just take a quick moment to recognize some new hires we have. You know, we've been hiring staff over the last month. And so I'm going to give Chris and Jeannie an opportunity real quick to make some quick introductions for you guys.
I'll start off for customer service. We just brought on Madison. Madison, you can stand up. She first came to us as a temp in the appeals department. So she worked with us through the whole protest season. And she has a very innovative mind, and we've enjoyed working with her, and we brought her on full time. So we welcome Madison.
Hey.
So we also hired some new appraisal staff,
And I think I'll start. Michelle, are you here? So Michelle is our Director of Business Personal Property. And Dana, would you stand next to Michelle? Dana has just been recently hired to our Business Personal Property Department as one of our appraisers. And she has a good history, too, with Michelle and having worked together. And we're very, very blessed to have her join us as a part of the staff. And then in our residential department, we added an additional 7 individuals. And I'll start back there in the back. Richard, would you mind standing? Richard's joining us in our residential department. And then right up here on the front, Wesley, he'll be joining us as well. And then Lewis. And we have Herman, who'll be joining us, and Sam, and Barry, and then Daryl is also joining us with our residential staff. So we are really grateful for all of these individuals. And among the 8 individuals that we brought on for the appraisal staff, we have just over 80 years, right around 82 years of combined real estate appraisal, fee appraisal, remediation, arbitration experience among the staff. So we feel very blessed to have them, and so it'll be a great addition to the team that we have going forward. Very thankful for them.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, guys. So yeah, so as you can see, this is the hires that we've made just in a short period of time. We a collective effort to hit the ground running as soon as we certified the role to get jobs posted, the importance of getting those vacancies filled so we could prepare for the upcoming field appraisal cycle and, get the vacancies that we had filled. So we're currently at 98 out of 104 total positions that we have budgeted for. So we're getting close to getting back up to full staff and feel confident that over the next few months we'll get there, and then we'll have some additional staff to add for our 2024 budget. So just really excited about that. This time in our district, we've gone through a year of what I would like to consider more of a survival mode. We just, we had a job to do. We were limited on resources. But we knew what the task was in front of us, and everybody joined together, and we got the job done. And now it's time to start really progressing forward and, growing the organization and transforming into, what our vision is overall for the organization what you guys are helping to support. So we're just, super grateful for the additional staff and excited for the opportunities that are ahead of us.
Don, I was invited to come to the City of Carrollton's council meeting on Tuesday night and received nothing but praise for what the appraisal district has done over the last year. Which I might say is not always the reception I have received when City of Carrollton's invited me in. One of the questions I had received in the past was, the city understood that we needed to add staff. Would we be able to hire quality staff and fill the vacancies that we had? That was a concern. So Tuesday night, I was able to assure the Carrollton City Council that not only were we able to hire, we were able to hire really top quality people, and we're in a great position to continue the success we had this past year and even improve upon it. So thank you to you all, and congratulations, and welcome for those of you.
Welcome. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. So as I walk forward through my report to you, I want to talk to you about the facility a little bit. As we have discussed over and over again, the needs here at the appraisal district for space as we continue to grow. We continue to look for ways to maximize the current space that we have. And be the best stewards with what we have right now to, show good faith out to the taxing units that are funding us that we are, in fact, doing everything we possibly can in the time we're in this building until get the support that we need financially to, you know, have a new building or additional space, however that looks. And so part of that is going to play out in the way of the room that we sometimes meet in over another building. We're going to utilize that room. It's I think it's close to about 2,500 square foot. And Chris has been coordinating with a couple of vendors looking at some options. And we've got some plans and some proposals that we've been looking at on some modular cubicle style furniture to fill that room and give us space for 28 people. And that will allow us to, through some movement and some transitions in space, we'll be able to make room for the entire residential department over in that building, and then relocating some folks over there over to this building will allow for enough space for what we currently have, and then the growth for next year, the additional positions that we have coming in next year. So we're getting close to one of the attorneys at Purdue is finalizing and helping me get together an RFP document for that furniture purchase, and so we'll be posting that next week in the papers and starting that process for request for proposals. Also, in the way of facility, we've battled really over the years with roof leaks here, specifically in this building, and chasing those leaks and trying to figure out where they're at and trying to make small repairs to where we don't have leaks anymore. And ultimately, some of the more major leaks that we have, which are in this actual section of the building we're sitting in, the roofing company has come back with a pretty substantial quote on repairs to stop the leaks. And so that's another issue that I'm going to have to put an RFP out on, just to go ahead and inform the board. That initial proposal we got for that was $90,000. It's not something that that we're excited about, but at the same time, it really needs to be done, because you can even see down this hall, you can see some ceiling tiles that we continue to replace, but every time it rains, we have water coming in, and we're trying to eliminate the possibilities of mold and other issues that come along with leaks. So just to keep you aware of that. And as we've come out of protest season and certification and started the planning phases for the next year and for growth, we're looking at all the different changes and how it affects everyone, because it's going to affect everyone differently. Residential completely and totally uprooting from where they've been, moving into another building. So we took the opportunity a few weeks ago to meet with staff and kind of walk through that with them and lay out what our plans were and our goals and expectations, and just trying to express our understanding of the challenges that are going to come alongside of this growth, ultimately to ensure that they understand what our goals are and what direction we're headed, and so that we can start to field feedback and questions and concerns from them. And I feel like that's all went well. It's obviously it's going to be a process, as all change is, but I feel like everyone is starting to come on board with the ideas and understand what the long-term goals of the district are. And so we're excited to start, really moving forward with all of this, so we can, continue to improve, efficiency and processes and our service ultimately to the public and to the entities.
Are you going to need to do an RFP for equipment, wiring, that sort of thing, as well as furniture?
And no, the electrical, thankfully, a lot of the electrical was there because that building was, before we had it, it actually held a lot of cubicles. And so there wasn't a lot of work to be done in the way of electrical network as well. There's not a lot. There's a little bit of wires that need to be run, but it's a very, very minimal expense as far as that goes. So the majority of the cost in what we're going to be doing with that is going to be for furniture, you know, and the installation of that furniture. We're also going to, you know, in turning that space from a training area into a room that's going to house all the residential appraisers, adding that many people to that building, we're going to add, you know, some light amenities in that room, a couple of extra fridges, some microwaves, some coffee makers and stuff like that, and turn that space into, you know, a nice warm, you know, workspace for all of them, and try to make it as comfortable as possible for everybody. Training and development is a big focus, obviously. You know, we talked about that. We talked about it last year and rolling into the budget, and, you know, so, and I think, you know, Chris and possibly Jeannie will talk a little bit more about that in their updates, but that's where we've kind of shifted our focus now that we've brought on, you know, all these new folks is training and developing these folks and getting them ready for, you know, the upcoming season. And so I've already heard some really exciting things, and I know you guys will be happy to hear as well what's been going on in that environment. And one of the last things that I was going to share with you was just kind of, again, an update. You know, we are currently about in a little over a week and a half, I think, behind our targeted planned date to get the data files over to the tax office, to Michelle's office, for, you know, the tax bills to be able to go out. And I just felt like that was something important that you guys needed to know about. You know, I think Jeannie has been in constant communication with Stacy over there at the office, giving updates on where we're at. You know, a lot of the cause behind that, and Jeannie will touch on that as well in her updates, but, you know, the latest legislation, the special session, the timing of that, the changes, has played a really big role in that delay. There's been some challenges for our staff to walk through in ensuring that the files are accurate before they make it over there, so you know, the tax roll can be accurate. And the last thing I had was just that we are currently receiving nominations for, you know, the 2024 board of directors from all the taxing units. And we've received now from 9 entities, and we've got, well, today, tomorrow, and Monday, the close of business on Monday is the deadline to receive those nominations. And then Misty will help working on getting the ballots together and sending that out to the entities so they can start casting their votes for the 2024 board of directors, for the 5 members that will be appointed by them. And then obviously Senate Bill 2 added the 3 elected positions that will come onto the board next summer through the May election, the general election. That is all I have. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them.
Don, you know, the reality is we have made unbelievable progress in turning a negative trend into a positive trend. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. How did you get high quality people, that many people in that short period of time, to join DCAD? And is this people who have been to other DCADs, not DCADs but CADs, who have come over to our DCAD, or is the training process going to have to start from scratch with most of the new people? Give me a little bit of a feel for how you got that many and what the degree of you know, experience might be.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, us, again, you know, really jumping out there as soon as we could and getting the positions posted. We had to get through protest season, you know, before we could really focus on hiring again. So we, I mean, as soon as that was over, Chris and Jeannie both worked really hard to start making sure that we had the positions posted. And honestly, you know, provision of the Lord, I mean, we started receiving applications, and, they started going through the interview process. And, we had a variety of folks that had applied, some that were currently working for other CADs, some that were, in different aspects of the real estate industry, ARB exposure, you name it. But, I don't have a great explanation on how it all came together, other than, like I said, the Lord provided, the qualified candidates that we needed and that we were seeking, and made that process go really smooth and quick.
Well, it's remarkable in that short period of time since we approved the budget, you've been able to get that many high quality people fit the various openings we had and be in the training process. So I don't know how you did it, but it's an amazing accomplishment.
You know, the other thing I'd like to add there is I think also y'all have been working tremendously hard to make sure packages were good. And when I speak to that, I'm talking about insurance and I'm talking about the building and the fact that you're creating office space. There's a lot of things being done that make people feel welcome, I believe, to come here. And I did not find that same feeling as much when I first came here. So that's right or wrong, I think there's a lot of good things to y'all being here.
And Gary, it's an exciting place to be.
That's right.
We're going just a little bit. Well, and I'd just like to say, you know what, y'all, welcome. We're thrilled to have you guys, and if there's anything that my office can do to assist y'all, me and my chief deputy, our finance comptroller, if there's anything we can do, just holler at us. We'll be happy to help anyway.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes, sir. So, just to give a quick update from the appraisal side of life, we've talked a little bit here about the job posting. To rewind just for a moment, we held off. We had all of these openings, but we held off on bringing folks in because it wasn't the most conducive time to bring people in the middle of an ARB season. Very difficult to give them any type of training and to walk through that process. And we also knew at the same time that we needed to develop a protocol and develop a process that we could take them through so that it would be a delightful experience for the new hire and for the existing staff. And so we waited, we posted, went through that process, brought them on. And I'm real grateful too, just for the time that Misty and Kim and Jeannie and myself were able to spend together. And we walked through the existing process for onboarding new individuals, and we made some adjustments and some tweaks and came together. So I'm really thankful for the work that we were able to do together to make it a really smooth process. There's still things that we want to improve on in terms of that onboarding process, but I think the testament is the individuals that we brought on. And we also asked them too to be even, brutally honest as to what they were experiencing from the time that we interviewed to the time that we made an offer to day one, to day two. What was that like? Orientation, the walkthrough, the beginning of the training process. And we've gotten really good feedback from this group of individuals that have come on, things that can help us improve. So we're very grateful for that too, and we want that. That's how we get better. So we went through that process with the onboarding, brought them in, and began training. Training and development was one of our focuses. It still is a huge focus. And we also wanted to set expectations up front so that they would have clear direction and clear vision as to where we were going and what the it was only fair to them to explain to them where we're at, where we've been, and where we're going. And that way, they have a heads up going forward. So, with training and development, one of the needs that we had was directly with our residential department. So we've begun there, and this past Tuesday, we had, if you will, kind of residential department boot camp 101 training. And Matt's with us, and I didn't mean to overlook him earlier, but he's our director of residential, and he's done a tremendous job, and we're making great strides. But Matt and I were able to kind of tag team and go through a full day of training with our entire residential department. And we started from the ground up. We've done some reorganization, some realignment. We've taken the county and we broke it into regions that are manageable, and we put together teams. Each team has an analytical piece, and it has a field site visit, field work piece. And by breaking those into regions and putting teams together, analyzing various individuals' aptitude, what would be a good fit, we begin to make some selections using supervisors' opinions and documentation. And all of that's still flexible because we may be moving people, but we started with that day of training, teaching them about our system, what it does, what they need to know, how to build schedules, things of that nature moving forward. So we're off to a really good start, and it's phase one, and there's more to come. We put together an outline, and we're working through that process. So we're very excited. And just the feedback already from our residential department, because specifically that's where we started, has been great. I mean, we're really getting good feedback, and I think it's going to be a real help to all of them. The other thing, though, that we're going to do to assist some of our leadership is next week, we're going to continue this training and development. We're going to be taking a trip down to Bearcat, another like and similar CAD in San Antonio. We've been working this out with some of their leadership, and we have an itinerary put together of how we're going to walk through that. We'll be able to take and sit with their various departments, and of course, we want to know everything, history, what went into the planning of their facility that they have, the functionality, how does it flow, because these are things that we're going to be thinking about in the future. And so how are they structured organizationally? Why are they structured that way? What are all the tasks that they have? How did they determine how to align those tasks? And then we want to have breakout sessions where our directors go and spend time in those various departments, because they use the same CAMA system that we have. And frankly, this past year, we ran into some issues. There's a lot of workarounds that have to happen with our current software program. So we're calling them, what's your fix? They're asking us, what's your fix? And together, we're trying to formulate those ideas of how we improve when things are just limited with what we have. And so next week, we hope to be a very beneficial training and development session with Bearcat, both for them and for our leadership as well. So hope to be able to give you a great update on that.
How many folks are you taking?
Right now, there's going to be a total of 8 of us.
So you guys can come back to train trainers?
Well, we hope so. Yep, absolutely.
Great.
Okay. Jenny?
All right. So as far as the administration departments, appeals, the ARB has finished up all the hearings for 23. They finished those up on September the 21st, and now they'll just be meeting once a month for those protests that pop up. They are working on running supplemental rolls for the entities. They have had a little bit of issue with that timing out, because the first one is just so large. It's got a lot of changes in it, going from the 40,000 to the 100,000 homestead. So they're having a couple issues with that we're working on. We're also preparing for the 24 protest season. Even though it's in our rearview mirror, you know, we're also trying to prepare for next year. We're working on a way to lower cost and production time for our certified mail. We send out a lot of certified mail, and Bee's been working with a company that may actually lower our costs and be able to help us with that. We're also working with Wardlaw to see if we can simplify the process for agents by making their account numbers match ours. We'll see how it goes, but while we're at Bear next week, we're going to meet with them as well. IT, they've overcome several challenges with outages and camera issues, and they've done well, done really great with that. They've got system maintenance that's ongoing, and have had minimal to minimal interference with others in the building, preparing for our new infrastructure, so that's going well. As Chris mentioned, for the HR department, we worked on our onboarding process and just successfully brought on 9 new employees, so they've been busy with that, and then also assisting everybody with open enrollment. We got all that completed as well. And customer service and exemptions, tickets and phones are down a little bit, so we can breathe a little bit there and kind of focus more on exemptions. We have had some issues with the camera provider and getting our files over to the tax office. We do realize it was a very short time period. That Senate Bill 12 passed, and they did not give us much time to implement the changes. And we realized that our software provider had that same time crunch. However, we're having to address issues with that outside of our system because it's simply just not capable of doing everything that we need it to do to have an accurate file, which is what's really important for us, is we don't want to send a file that's not very good, and then they have to deal with getting bills out and then correcting bills. So the issues we've had, just to name a few, is the calculations of a ceiling when there's new value. That was not firing from the correct table, which we discovered, and I say we loosely because Rebecca has been working very hard on that and getting all this corrected. They did not address UDIs in the calculation at all, which is undivided interest. Saw Michelle's eyes go up. So those accounts, they did not account for those at all. So we're having to go in and do that on the backside. Also things like exemptions. Somebody that had a disabled person's exemption and they're going to an over 65, you would think it would simply, they would get the same ceiling because it's the same benefit, even though it's a different exemption. But the system does not do that. So that's something we have to do on the back end. Things like that. So it puts a strain on Rebecca and her team. It takes away from things that they should be doing during this time and focusing on, like training and getting through those exemption applications. So, that is a bit of a strain to us right now. We're working very diligently and hope to have, something to do very soon. But it is a challenge, just so y'all are aware of that.
What are we doing on our exemptions?
We are still sitting at about 6,000, a little bit above, which is about the same as we were a couple months ago. We're also still short-handed. We just brought on Madison, but we have four open positions as well. We do have a temp right now, Amy, that is looking like we may bring her on as well. She's got a lot of potential and has done well, so but we do have 4 openings still at this time. So,
have we filled the trainer position we budgeted for, or is it going to be next year?
That's 2024.
Okay.
2024 budget.
But we still have it kind of identified, hopefully, or we don't know. With cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Well, I just wanted to kind of dovetail on what Jenny was talking about with the CAMA system. In my world, our tax assessors across the state of Texas have been having a lot of issues with the software from a standpoint of contacting, communication. People are not being responded to, phone calls are not being responded to. It's causing an enormous amount of upheaval across the state of Texas. And to find out that something that is as simple as just processing an exemption should not be a difficult thing. That's what the software is there to do. That is what we pay them for. This is something, it'd be no different than in my, the equivalency is that in my software, if my software no longer was calculating tax rates properly, you can imagine how dramatic and how big of an issue that would be. Mm-hmm. If the equivalency is the same. So to hear that they're, you know, just simple functions are not being performed properly, that is very, very problematic. And people all across the state are having similar problems. And so I think it's something that, as a board, we're going to have to look at and address very soon.
On the software, is it one particular vendor or it's across vendors? It doesn't really matter what the software is.
In this particular case, it's the same vendor.
It is the same vendor.
Yeah. But I'm hearing from other colleagues across the state of Texas, it's the same vendor that they're having problems with too.
Yeah. And what is the vendor telling us?
Honestly, we haven't really reached out to them much because luckily we have Rebecca that has, you know, taught herself, really. She's kind of had to. How to do things just in the database. They have a history, though, of not responding very quickly. I will say that. But we, in this case, we haven't really reached out to them. So as far as what they're saying, I honestly don't know. But
there comes a point in time when you have a deadline that you're trying to meet, and we got to get the work done. You know, we have current outstanding tickets that we had put in prior to this that still haven't been responded to, and so it's, you know, as a business decision, you know, if we have somebody that's capable of, you know, running the process outside of the software, and we can trust that process, you know, even as unfortunate as it is, because what she's having to do is pull data out of the system, manipulate the data, and then put it back into the system. Mm-hmm. And run that as separate processes for each individual year, each individual layer. And so that's why it's taking, you know, that's why there's a delay to that process, because, you know, truth be told, I mean, if the system was working the way it should, we should be able to just run the process and it would be seamless, and, you know, the output would be ready and we would be able to send the file. But that's not the case.
Are we paying this group, this vendor?
It's our appraisal software. It's all one big license agreement. So yes.
So can that be evaluated and at some point upgraded to something that would work? Because that is a bigger problem than a lot of our others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When she pulls that data out, is she dropping it into Excel or into Access? She's just dropping it into Excel, doing the calculations that way. So imagine that.
No.
Yeah. Imagine that, y'all.
I mean, you're talking about 60,000, give or take, properties that she's having to run through this process on. And she's having to walk all because of the SB 12 and SB 2 stuff. She has to walk all the way backwards to 2018 and then start walking it all the way back forward.
Right. Wow. So you figure pulling that data out, dumping it into Excel, so you're now taking something that should be a static record, all you do is apply the program to it, and you pull it out, then you have to apply the changes to it, and then dump it back in there. The potential, and Rebecca does an amazing job, but the potential for any type of error just exponentially explodes.
Well, and that's part of it too, because she has to take an extra step once she's put it back in. We have to have some QC on it and error checks and make sure before we proceed forward to the next step. So again, and just added time.
Yeah.
You know, loss of efficiency.
Yeah, it's. I see that as a real real problem.
Okay. Any other questions? We have a taxpayer liaison report.
Since my last report, we've had 11 complaints. The district complaints are as follows. One complaint regarding the questions in the online protest portal not being answered by staff. and one complaint about the taxpayer receiving a hearing notice and only being allowed to have an informal review on the day of the hearing. And the ARB complaints are as follows. Three complaints regarding taxpayer evidence not being considered by ARB. One complaint stating the rebuttal opportunity was not given by the ARB. Two complaints indicating the ARB was impolite and impatient. Two complaints regarding the affidavit requirement. And one complaint about the long wait time. That's all I have. Thank you.
That's kind of amazing, is there not? I mean, I hear more than that just on next door. Is there any reason why you believe that that is at that small level? That's great.
Yeah, it was just so much better this year.
Yeah.
That's wonderful to hear.
My first piece of advice is get off.
I've never responded, but I do. I'm amazed at what they will complain about.
All right. Anything else? All right. Item six is consent agenda. Any items we want to take off consent? Seeing none, can I have a motion?
I make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. There's no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, consent agenda is approved. Item seven, 2022 SDPVS notification.
So if you recall, I delivered this to you via email a little while back, but you know, there's a government code requirement for us to have a discussion about this in an open session. And so in the packet, you should have the letter that was received. And simply stated, this is just a notification from the comptroller's office about the school district property value study findings and basically the status of these three school districts that are listed on here. And you may or may not recall, but during our 2021 property value study, we had actually six school districts that had fallen out of the confidence interval. And through the appeal process, we were able to appeal all six of those with the assistance of Purdue Brandon and able to bring three of those school districts back into the confidence interval, leaving Pilot Point, Aubrey, and Sanger still out. I can point to several different things that would cause us to be out. I will tell you that, I mean, the confidence interval, simply put, is we have to be at market value. We're supposed to be at, 100% of market value. And, once the comptroller has done a study on this, they're going to determine a market value. And then there's a confidence interval. We have to be between 95 and 105%. And if we're high or low, then we're outside of that, which is going to that's going to generate an invalid finding on the property value study. And that's what happened in 2021 on these three school districts. When that happens, the state will come in and do a subsequent year study on just those school districts that were out. They did that again in 2022, and these three school districts were still out. Very close on all three of these school districts. I mean, within a percent, we're at about 94%, so we're just a little bit low. But nevertheless, we're out and invalid. That's what this notification is about. Basically, it goes out, it goes out to the superintendents of those schools. There are 2 years of what they call a grace period before, there is a possibility for a school district to actually lose some funding through this process. If we don't get those school districts back in by year three and it's an invalid finding again, then the state will come in and assign their property value, their value, their taxable value to those school districts, which is historically has always been higher. I mean, indicated when I tell you that we were at 94% on these, they're saying that the value should be higher. So if they assign a higher value to a school district, then that means the comptroller is determining that they don't need as much funding as through the funding formula. When they take the taxable value and plug it into their long funding formula that calculates out through the average daily attendance and the number of students and determines how much funding they need, if you assign a higher taxable value to that formula, then it's going to say, well, this is how much revenue you're going to generate, so you don't need as much from us, basically. So that's how a school district can be harmed through this process, and that's why it's so important to, you know, for that property value study for us every other year. So 2021 was the first year, 2022 is the second year. We are currently in a property value study year again right now. The appraisers from the state are doing their work, you know, on the appraisals in Denton County, and we'll get back to findings and preliminary findings from that probably in January. I do feel confident that we're going to be back in value. I mean, considering the increases that we saw, and specifically in these three, in that whole area of Denton County, the northern area of Denton County probably got hit harder than anybody else as far as our valuations are concerned. We really raised the values to try to get to what we can see as market value, and I feel confident that we're going to be back in. But nevertheless, this is something that I have put before you and have discussion on, and so I'm willing to answer any questions you have on that.
Anybody have questions? All right. You want to cover item 8 and 9 together?
Sure. So, agenda items 8 and 9, I've attached a resolution for you guys to consider for both of those items. These are items that we discussed in our last board meeting. And, you know, I'm simply asking that through an adoption of a resolution that you guys will give me the authority and basically, stop with our general practice for years, our general practice on personnel policy approval and group health benefits approval has been for the chief appraiser to bring that before the board. It's not a requirement. There's no statutory requirement for us to do that. I feel like, you know, as a matter of just business, especially the group health benefits segment of it, you know, you guys are approving a budget that we've budgeted for that, for that item. You've already, you know, granted me the authority to spend a certain amount on the health benefits package. And so to bring, you know, to have to bring a set of benefit plans in front of you for you guys to make a selection, unless you guys would like to continue forward with that, you know, we would like to just be able to, you know, to make that selection. You know, we're always going to make a diligent effort in visiting with our program manager. He does a fantastic job of laying out all the options and helping us weigh the differences between the plans and make sure that we have the best possible benefits that we can afford for the staff. And on the personnel policy, from time to time, you know, as we're working through, especially right now, we're working through a lot of change and transformation in the organization, and sometimes we need to be able to make slight adjustments to the personnel policy. My practice will always be to seek counsel on that with one of our HR attorneys that we use, to make sure that we're, staying in compliance with labor laws and that we're, we're not violating any employment rights or anything like that. But the ability to be able to make a change in the personnel policy rather than having to wait for a board of directors meeting to bring it before you guys would be more efficient in my mind. One thing that I will tell you, that will always be my intent as chief, will be to bring that, if we do make any changes in the following meeting, I will bring that to the board of directors as an update and receive any feedback on that as well. You'll always be able to, evaluate me through the evaluation process if you feel that I've made poor decisions. But again, my heart and desire is always going to be to benefit the staff here and to have a personnel policy that does that as well.
Okay, we have 8B is the resolution on changes to personnel policies and employment procedures. Any questions on the resolution? Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that resolution passes. Then 9B is the board resolution on the group health benefits. Any questions on that resolution? Other than why won't it pull up? Okay, it did.
Move approval.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I do. The only question that I have is, it's fine with me that you have the right to approve and everything else, but insurance is probably one of the most important tools we have, everyone in this room, every staff person. Is there, and changes are happening yearly. Do you put a team together to look, besides at one vendor, to see what challenges may be coming on or what new things? And that's more of a question of a process than it is. This part's fine, but I'm just confused the way it's running right now. People are being priced out of insurance.
Sure. Kim, do you want to... Kim works extremely closely with Kaylin McCoy through that process. Early on, we start that process, and she works very closely with him, and she can probably share more detail about that than I could. So,
Joe, when I came... I came from a traditional insurance model where you have a premium. So the self-funding model was new to me, and I was rather leery of that process. Kaylin has been doing this for the district for about 15 years. Prior to that, his mother did it. He is a broker, an insurance broker, not dissimilar to a Higginbotham, where they go shop all of the markets. What Kaylin does is he compares and contrasts what our actual experience rate was under the self-funded model, which is a combination of the actual premium that we pay and then what the actual claims are in the course of a year, and then things that are in place to help control those costs, i.e. the reinsurance being the biggie, to where at any point in time, there's a maximum exposure that the district has. And so they tag on some little things that they can. And this is what he does day in and day out. And as I've come to work with him over the last 3 years, I have complete faith that he does his due diligence in terms of comparing and contrasting everything in the market. Anything that's new that's coming out, he had one little tweak that he added this year. So he's always going to bring forth anything that is something that would be a potential cost benefit to the district in a way to help us control costs and give us a pros and cons of what that is. If there's a cost for that, how does it ultimately benefit us? But he puts together that self-funding model, and then he compares and contrasts it to a traditional model, a big Blue Cross Blue Shield, where you pay $1,000 a person, whatever it is, on the monthly rate, and then it's a one and done. There's a little more backside to it for us in that, yes, we have a little monthly premium that we pay, but then there's an ongoing payment of actual... Group Resources is the provider. The network is Cigna. And so Group Resources takes and manages all the claims. And they look at whichever plan the person has. They make sure that it fits the criteria that our insurance lines out, that it matches in-network, out-of-network, that type of thing. Then they actually send me a checklist. They literally checks that they've issued. I have to approve those, so I'm laying eyes on them to make sure that, yes, indeed, those are employees, date of service, ties, those types of things. From time to time, if someone's left and their insurance is actually terminated, then if that date of service is outside of that time period, then there's an opportunity for them to catch it or for myself to catch it. So we have that we take care of, and then they also, Group Resources also helps manage the prescription side, which is a piece that they contract with a group called Proact, thank you. And so, but it from the employee's point of view, it's listed on that insurance card. They see no real difference. They can take and augment that if they choose by using PROACT for mail-in pharmacy for thyroid medicine, heart, blood pressure medicine, those types of things that are recurring. Obviously not a painkiller, those types of things. But they can set it up on an automatic renewal to where it comes to their home. So there's lots of bells and whistles and lots of little moving pieces that all come together under that umbrella of group insurance. But I have complete confidence personally that Kaylin walks through every single bit of that, crosses every T and dots every I.
Thank you. And my question was not on the approval of this.
Sure.
It was more of the process.
Yeah.
All right. We have a motion and second to approve the Resolution 9B regarding the approval of group health benefits plans. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that passes. Thank you. Item 10.
So as I spoke to you earlier in my chief appraisal report, you know, we're looking at the building next door over there in the space for the residential department. And so we have a need for funds for that furniture. And obviously it wasn't something that was budgeted for. So I'm just bringing this before you, and I'm asking for, you know, basically a pre-authorization currently to use up to $200,000 in reserves for that project. And of course, as we walk forward through the RFP process and we make our selections, then we'll bring that to the board next month and get ask for approval to contract with whoever the selected vendor is for the purchase and installation of that furniture and any other auxiliary needs that we have for that to complete that.
I move to approve that one.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
How much does that leave you in reserve?
I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. Financials, I don't know. I mean, $200,000.
$200,000 is covered with what we're making over and above interest revenue.
I just hope it's enough. But
it will be. That up to is a liberal, it's a very liberal estimate, but I want to go up enough to be able to.
But outside of this, we may have to dip into it again for the
almost guaranteed.
more than once.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Draping the blue tarp over the top is not a good idea. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the authorizing the chief appraiser to spend up to $200,000 of reserve funds on the furniture and electrical for the facility? Any opposed? All right. That passes.
Got the roof fixed, you're heading out.
Thank y'all very, very much.
Welcome.
So glad to have y'all.
Congrats.
Pretty impressive group.
The question is, what did you find with them doing their spare time? Just that alone is huge.
Okay, so congrats. I just have to ask, did y'all make them dress up? I mean, that's not what they normally wear to work every day.
Actually, a couple of them it is.
A couple of them.
I was like, man.
I know. I had the same thought. It's like, guys, dress it down.
No, it's all that matter.
They really do. They look sharp when they come, so.
Nice. That's cool.
That's
awesome. All right. Item 11. Nobody wanted to stick around to talk about the chief appraiser today.
So, and I made some copies again. If you guys need a new copy of the two documents that I had provided to you last month at the meeting, but just wanted to start moving forward with that and go ahead and, you know, set a date for my evaluation, and then also, you know, see if you had any questions or recommendations on, you know, an evaluation instrument that you wanted to use. Did you like either or both?
Let me see those. I'm sorry. This is them. That's fine. There was one about.
Yeah, what Board, what thoughts did you have about the two vehicles that he gave us?
I didn't have a huge issue with either one of them. I kind of like the one that had all the job description and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't include that on this copy, but yeah, yeah the...
But I, just,
the
list,
I have it online.
Even the stuff behind it I like better, but, yeah. But I'm good with either one of them.
Yeah, that was that one was my preference as well.
Then we are in a position to say a little time. We just need to pick a date.
Yeah.
Or, do we want to do this as part of our November meeting? Or we got a November 2nd meeting.
Well, and that's something else that I wanted to visit with you guys about because I don't think that date's going to be conducive considering the RFP that we're getting ready to do. Because of the timeline and the posting requirements, so that's kind of a good question.
Need a slide.
Do we need to just roll it all into December?
I would prefer to be able to have a November meeting because we're going to need to approve that, but it would really be beneficial if we had that meeting November 16th, I think, because again, because of the posting requirements and the timeline on getting that done, so that week of the 16th is probably what we're going to be looking at on that.
I will not be here. I will be coming back from a BGN conference, but don't let that stop y'all if everyone else is able to.
I really think you need to be here. You've got some great historic knowledge.
And then I'll be coming back from, well, you know, I'll be coming back. I need to see what the...
It doesn't have to be on Thursday.
How about the 15th? I mean, you know.
I'll be gone.
I'm not married to Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be gone the 13th through the 16th. Hang on.
Mm-hmm. 17th or 20th? I'm just throwing them out. There's not a...
Well, the following week is... Thanksgiving.
Yeah, toward the end of the week, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I have depositions set every day that week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just, you know, because we have to...
You know what I'll do? I'll just leave in the morning on the 16th to be back here in time. So let's just go ahead and do that.
Well, is the 17th, though? I mean, it's a Friday, but...
I mean, I could do it on the 17th. I have an appointment at 12:45, but I'll be done and back in town. So we could do it then, too.
I can do either one.
Either one?
I can do either one.
Yeah, I'll do the one.
But can you do either one?
That's your pleasure, so.
So you're going to do on the 17th then?
Just imagine what traffic's going to be like getting out of here.
Yeah, you're the one that lives in Carrollton.
There shouldn't be a lot of other business on that agenda.
Okay, so we'll cancel the 2nd, and we'll include the evaluation on the meeting on November 17th.
And can we move it earlier so you don't have that problem? Try this.
That's fine.
And regarding that, so we'll do our evaluations individually. Should we send those to you so somebody can kind of coordinate them all, or are we just going to have a big scrum? I don't know.
Customarily, we get together, we discuss it.
Okay.
We rate everything. We hand it all to him. He takes and meets with him.
Got it. And we'll do that at that meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I just didn't know the mechanics.
It works. That way we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
And then we have one.
Let me get back on that page right there. I'm on the end here. I'm not picking up on everything you're saying on that. And give me a little quick summary of what you just discussed.
So we're talking about, we moved the November meeting to the 17th, and at that meeting, going through the Chief Appraiser Performance Review, meeting as a board regarding it, and then meeting with Don to go over the...
So, we have two documents here. you know, different but same objective evaluation? Are we focusing on one?
Yeah, the one we're adopting is the one that's got the job description on the front.
That's
the one. Take care of that one.
That helps.
I know it's confusing when they put together.
Got it.
They were saying 3 o'clock?
17th of 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 3. All right.
Anything further on that? Item 12, families and interest. This is favorite topic.
Third quarter, outstanding allocations. And there at this time, I notated 3 that were received at the very first of October. They actually had September issue dates. At this point, there's only 7 outstanding through the checks that I have there to deposit. For the most part, everyone is timely, and it's just, I think, for some of the entities, a hard 30 day that I'm tied to report in. Hard 30 days is a tight turnaround for them. By the time they receive it, process it, put it in our AP, issue the check, and for us to receive it.
So we're receiving it. It's just
absolutely.
It's just the processes, you know, going through council or board or anything like that. Okay.
And it's almost a goodwill effort.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I look at it.
And so...
You want an approval on that?
Yeah, we need a motion to waive penalties of interest.
So moved.
Third quarter.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? That passes. All right. Item 13, executive session, to consider personnel matters and consultation with outside counsel. All right, reconvening from executive session. Any actions to be taken based on executive session? Seeing none. Next item is to set our next meeting date, which we already did, November 17th. At 3 o'clock. And any items anyone wants on the agenda for the next meeting other than the Chief Appraiser's performance review?
You have a date set for the next meeting?
17th of November.
The 17th?
Yeah. That's a Friday. Anything else anybody wants on the agenda?
I don't think it has to be on this agenda by any means because it would take time. But on this software issue that was brought up, do we at some point need to at least look at what the future brings to try to correct that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think that would be quite positive to look into.
Man, I don't want to go down the software.
No, you tried that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything further? I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By the guy who told me he wanted to be done by 4:30. Second?
Second.
All right. Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
All right. Good deal.
Good job.